In these series of podcasts that are based on informal conversations with Jeremy Crichton Herbert, child refugee, English schoolboy, dancer, actor, writer, director, and author, octogenarian Peter Brett reminisces about his eventful and unpredictable life that began in Vienna, Austria, between the two great wars. Episode 1, Early Childhood in Vienna.
We were sort of working class. I mean, the only thing is, I had this great friend who I have to mention, because his family lived in the flat next door to us, and he was older than me, about 10 years older than me. He was like a teenage boy. So he remembers my mother and father, remembered my mother and father better than I do, in a way. He could see them in a more objective way, you know. He could see that my father was this man of the world kind of chap, you know, who obviously quite fancied himself, and my mother was very, very pretty. He said, "Oh, she was the first woman I was ever in love with, Peter, you know." Well, for me, she was just a mum. And they were slightly, I think, ill-assorted couple, and that probably explains it all, really. He always had such nice shirts. You know, your father, very good, wear such nice shirts, you know. And he had the biggest hands of any man I've ever seen, you know. So he was obviously this kind of slightly macho kind of... I think he sort of identified with people like Jean Gabin. There was a German film star of the period, I think he's called Hans Albers or something like that, who was like the Jean Gabin, who was always singing songs, you know, in Hamburg, on the Elbe, you know, and my father would do that. It was interesting.
In Hamburg am Elbe, gleich hinter dem Ozean, von St. Pauli und von der Reeperbahn.
Were they both from Vienna initially, both your family, both mum and dad?
Yes, I think they were, but both their families were in fact coming from Czechoslovakia. And Hungary, but of course it's Austria. I mean, you know, this is, you know, when they were young, it was Austro-Hungary before the First World War. And of course, my father was in the Navy. He was a coxswain on motor torpedo boats in the First World War. But he'd been in the Navy before. He joined the Navy when he was, I think, 16 or something like that. So he was in the Navy from 16 to 24. And then, of course, there wasn't any Navy anymore, no Austrian Navy, you know. And I think that was kind of quite important for him. It was, you know, he used to box and all those things. I mean, I was born in 1929, so in the 30s, actually the First World War wasn't that long ago. And all the, like Uncle Herman, who was my uncle, obviously, had been a colonel in the pictures of him on a horse, you know, in the Austrian army, and he had the Medal of Honor or whatever, is the Silver Cross or whatever, you know, and he would tell stories about being with the Turks, because the Turks, of course, were on the German and Austrian side, and he was secondary to the Turks, and he would, you know, he had all sorts of stories about patrols and you know, fighting the Italians and things, and probably in somewhere like Yugoslavia or somewhere like that. You know, I'm not quite sure where they interacted. And, you know, my father would have his stories about, you know, the motor torpedo boat and being chased by Italian destroyers and all that sort of thing. But as a consequence, he knew all the Austrian, all the Yugoslav coast, which of course is all part of Austria, mm-hmm. and Split and Dubrovnik and all those places were all naval bases, of course, for the Austrians. So he spoke Serbo-Croat, I don't know how well, and he would sing Italian Neapolitan songs and stuff. He played the mandolin occasionally. I don't think he had one, but I think he probably knew three chords, you know what I mean? and he would sing Katari, Katari, you know, all those, you know, which he'd obviously learnt in the Mediterranean. And then, of course, he took me to Yugoslavia as I was a little boy a couple of times, which, of course, was incredibly nice.
Did you go there by train or car? Or how did
train.
You go there?
Train,
we and you went down to the through the coast.
And went down through the coast, and then, I think we went. I know we had to. Then we got on a boat, and we went to one of the islands. Well, we went to Hvar, which was a wonderful, beautiful place. This one place, we obviously went there by boat. But I remember we went from Split down to Dubrovnik by boat or something like that. Because I remember we spent the night on the boat, but we slept on deck in a deck chair. Because, you know, it was warm, you know, it was great. And dolphins and stuff and all that. And so, that, you know, that's all quite interesting. And
just you and he who did this?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they got divorced eventually. They didn't... I think they were slightly oddly assorted, and I imagine... Well, I don't know. I don't know enough.
So your mum, was she... from Vienna, or was she was?
She was from Vienna.
What was her kind of occupation?
I don't think she ever had a job. Well, I think she worked in a chemist or something at one point. But while I remember, she didn't work.
And did she have an interest in the arts or anything like that?
She took me to the cinema. I remember seeing Midsummer Night's Dream, the famous Reinhardt Midsummer Night's Dream. I still remember that, and it's so extraordinary. Absolutely gobsmacked by it, of course, mostly because it was Jimmy Cagney and what's his name, Rooney.
Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, you know, playing Puck.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, was it David Colin? Not Colin Powell, somebody Powell, who was a big film star in the 30s. He's in all those things like 42nd Street and... You know, but he...
So was that subtitled?
I think would have been dubbed. Would have been dubbed. I don't think that's subtitled, is it? Everything was dubbed. And you know, when you see Shirley Temple films, for example, they'd be dubbed. And we had our own Shirley Temple too. There was a sort of German or Austrian, I'm not sure, you know. And of course, Anton Warbrook was Adolf von Bruck, was a famous, you know, film star. But no, the Midsummer Night's Dream is an extraordinary thing because there's this marvellous scene when Oberon comes along and I can still see it in my mind. He's riding a horse and he has a long black cloak and the cloak billows up and all these elves and fairies come flying out from underneath it, you know. Magic, you know, and dark and, you know the night starts and the lovers. Well, I saw the film a few years ago. What actually happens is he rides along on his horse, the cloak pillows up, and all his dancers come out and go, you know, terrible dancers going, you know. But the magic of it, you know what I mean? Yeah. This is what we have when we're children.
Of course.
And then we lose it. But anyway, we saw things like that.
So you really had a love for cinema from a very early age?
Very early age, yes, yes. I remember the early Walt Disney's, you know, the old black and white Mickey Mouse's. There's a famous film called The Good Earth, based on the book by Pearl S. Buck about China, which I can remember impressing me. Paul Muni, you know, was a big film star in the 30s, and who I saw at Death of a Salesman many, many years later in London. Wonderful actor, right. And he, you know, was you know, Chinese, was made into a Chinaman, and I can still remember that it was all about the famines in China. I remember where a guy has a bunch of grapes and eats the grapes and he throws away the stem, and then a beggar goes to get it and then somebody's foot. He's going to, and he stops it and he takes it so he can suck the little bits off, you know. It's the little things you remember, you see, yeah. Little. But Austria was very advanced in sort of things like that. I mean, there would be children's films and there would be little performances in front of the films and, you'd have little sort of like, I suppose they were like theatre education people would come out and do little things in front of the films.
So they would act for the kids and
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, right, I remember
before,
all
before
that.
The main feature.
Yes. I can remember that. Those are basically the ones I can remember. And there's, and you know, and the famous, there's a famous sort of mystery play, is Jedermann, Everyman, which is used to be done somewhere in one village all the time, traditionally, and I think it must have been filmed or something, because I remember that being terribly frightened by it, because death comes and calls, Jedermann, you know, I've come for you, and... You know, yeah, I guess it was. I think about it, I suppose there was quite a lot of, as I say, and my father would take me to the opera. I saw Wagner and stuff. Probably was asleep most of the time, but I
so
did
you
see.
Five or six?
Yeah.
Maybe even
eight.
Younger.
Well, right. No, eight, you know.
And you were at that time, what, did you go to a kind of primary school type of place?
Yeah, I remember vaguely schools. I remember there was doing some little theatrical performance in that. I think I was a little dog, I seem to remember, you know. and I think I had to say, and then there was a girl who was a cat, and I probably had to sing a little something about, you know. It's very, very different, you see. It's just all very, very different.
And was Vienna, as a growing child, would you have any kind of memories of it being a busy town, a busy city?
Well, yeah. I mean, where we lived, I'm not sure exactly, but it's not in the centre, because Vienna is very much in rings. There's the Gürtel, which is the belt, and there's the Ringstrasse, you know. They're sort of like that. And we were, I think, you know, certainly not within the central thing. And, I remember all the local, you know, the street. I mean, I used to sit, we were on the third floor, and we had, my parents had put, apparently when I was little, I was discovered crawling along the windowsill. The person on the opposite side saw me and was going, God's sake, you know, and my mum pulled me down, presumably, well, obviously. But she had bars put in, and I would sit with my feet dangling down through the bars and watching the street and everything. And then, of course, one of the important things was that the you know, there was a revolution in 1934, a failed revolution, which was quite violent, quite bloody, you know. People were shot, a lot of people, and they were actually, I saw them running down our street and being shot, you know, at the end on the corner.
So people, who was leading the revolution?
Well, it was a left wing.
It was
a left wing revolution, and then my father, who again, I don't know how serious it was, but I think he was possibly in the Communist Party. He was certainly, his sympathies were that way.
Really?
There was a famous house, I think, called the Red House, which, where the revolution finished, all the end of the revolutionaries, they were in this house, which was a block of flats, and they were surrounded by machine guns and field guns and things, and blown to buggery, you know. And I mean, he took me to see the place, and you could have all the holes in the walls and everything, you know, and pock marks from machine guns, and you know, and it was, I don't know, they must have pulled it down after that or rebuilt it, but before he did, he took me to see it, which I can remember.